Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In today's sermon titled Scattered Proud, Reverend David Williams reminds us that everything we are is a gift, and that we should give it out generously as God continues to freely give of himself to us.
Please be seated. As we gather this morning on this last Sunday of our season of preparation for the birth of the Christ child, as we stand in God's presence today, we know that we come as imperfect people, and that there's a peculiar paradox in that sometimes the thing that makes us most imperfect, that is the greatest boundary between us and God, is that thing that we view as our greatest gift and pride. So let's acknowledge that. Let's admit it. Let's stand in God's presence now, praying together the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. Almighty God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, there are things we just don't do well. We know that. But there are other things that we're not half bad at. There are things we do and skills that we have that we feel justifiably proud of. But though those things are gifts from God, we often think of them as reasons to feel superior to others. Wealth and strength and intelligence stop being parts of us that make the world better and become something that makes the world worse. Remind us, gracious one, that the purpose of a gift is to be given. Christ, please help us remember. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. That can be found on page 57 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Luke writes, "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever.' This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pride goes before a fall, or so that old saying from the book of Proverbs goes. And as memory serves me, and it still does a little bit, this was, if you wind back a couple decades, that season in life just about now where I had started to learn that lesson best. Because this is the season in life where many young folk return from their freshman year at whatever college or university they've attended. They return with minds brimming over with new knowledge and a few extra pounds from all those protein shakes they've been drinking, and 4 cubic yards of laundry. Well, that's what you get on the 13th day of Christmas as a gift, I guess. In my case, that first return from college included coming back with a significant and much-needed dent in my 18-year-old male pride. As I had left high school, I had somehow managed to leave convinced of 2 things. First, that there was absolutely nothing I couldn't do if I put my mind to it. Nothing could stop me. Things had stopped me before, but that wasn't my fault. If I was doing badly in a class, it had nothing to do with the elegant, carefully wrought, and existentially meaningful poem I had submitted. I mean, sure, it was a math test, but, you know. Had I actually studied, I would have nailed it. This I was sure of. I could do anything I set my mind to. And then I encountered first semester Russian. I was eager to read Dostoevsky and Tolstoy in the original language as I had read them, and they'd nourished me and myself in senior year in high school. And at UVA, first semester Russian was a blisteringly paced class. First class, here's the Cyrillic alphabet. Next class, we'll have moved on. Learn it by tomorrow. This was a class designed to identify naturally gifted linguists, potential CIA analysts, potential foreign servants in a time of the Cold War, and it was specifically designed to weed out the weak and the slow-witted and pretentious 18-year-olds who wanted to read Dostoevsky and Tolstoy in the original language. No amount of study, no amount of effort, no amount of going and working long hours of tutoring with the TA, none of it made a difference. I wanted to do well. I did. I poured effort into it. It mattered, but it was as futile as trying to bang out a dent in your bumper with your forehead, and only slightly less painful. I couldn't learn Russian. Меня зовут David. That's all I know. After all these years, that was about as far as I got. Hi, my name is David. I still remember it. So painful. The second thing that I was sure of, bedrock solid. If I was naturally good at something, if I got it, I knew this. I couldn't fail. It would just come easy. Philosophy was one of those things I was convinced I was good at. It was where I excelled. And so that first semester, I took a class that the professor, in all humility, described as The Meaning of Life, the title of the class. And I was sure I would nail it. And I did great in class discussions. And I got an A on every single one of those papers. And when the report card came out, I managed to come out of the class with a C. Getting a C in The Meaning of Life stings. Why? Because I'd forgotten to turn in the one paragraph write-ups that you were required to turn in at the beginning of every class. And it didn't matter how brilliant you were, Mr. Smarty Pants, if you don't do the grunt work, you don't get the grade. Pride is always like that. It's a strange thing because in some ways, pride would seem to be a positive thing. It is good to have confidence, good to have confidence in your abilities, good to know that there are some areas in our lives where we have been given gifts. But pride can also do real damage, at least as much damage as uncertainty does, or anxiety does, or self-doubt does. It can mess with us and our lives. It can tear apart relationships. It can tear apart communities. It can tear apart societies. Why is this? In today's scripture, we hear a little bit about why that is. Today's scripture is the story of two Judean women encountering one another at a time of mutual rejoicing in their lives. One of them was 6 months pregnant, and the other, well, she hadn't been expecting it, but suddenly she was expecting. And what we get from Luke is an intimate, vibrant, earthy passage filled with celebration and song. And you might think, well, it's kind of weird to find that in Luke's gospel. Luke, after all, is of the four gospel writers, the historian, the academic, the scholar. He's the one who begins the gospel with a very formal introduction. I am going to produce an orderly account for you. It will be carefully researched. I've investigated every last possibility. He uses the word orderly account twice, and that might lead you to believe, this is going to be dull. But it's not. As you've heard in sermons over the last couple of weeks, history in the ancient world was a different thing. It was all about the telling of stories, the weaving out of life for those who wanted to listen. It was deep, it was rich, it was personal. And what Luke is giving us today is just that. Here we have Mary, a young woman, going to see a relative who's now finally pregnant, deep into old age, which then probably meant, what, she was 26, 27? And they share together this moment of promise and life. And it's a familiar promise. It's a really familiar promise, one that I think has been part of the human experience for pretty much as long as we have been human beings. Mary comes in and speaks, and at the sound of her voice, that growing child in Elizabeth's womb, that child who will become John the Baptist, does one of those tumble kicks in utero that my wife used to describe for me as our boys did a little pre-practice of Taekwondo inside of her. It may be weird. It was sort of like, you know, that scene from Aliens. And they would respond to things in the outside world. And it is a feeling that I and the half of the human race that share my chromosomes can only imagine. My wife tells me that it was an unbelievable feeling. A feeling of joy and life right there, right with her. A feeling that's shared all across humanity, no matter who we are and where we are. And though they were both celebrating that joy and promise of new life, Mary and Elizabeth, at least by the standards of the world, were not in a position that anyone would say, this is a position where you should feel proud of yourself. Yeah, you're having babies, so you're not powerful, nor would they have been. These were women living in rural Judah, in Galilee, which was the sticks. And they wouldn't have been anyone there. No one. What would the source of their worldly pride have been? They wouldn't have been wealthy. But they also would not have had the right to take the things in their culture that gave value. You were valuable if you knew and studied the sacred law of Torah. If you could debate the holy in the synagogue, and women couldn't do that. Nor would they have had right of access to the temple. Women couldn't do that. Nor could they have amassed worldly wealth and known that it was theirs alone. They were just two women, one 6 months pregnant, one just realizing what was happening inside of her. But what we get from them is, well, it's not a lament about how little they have or words of sorrow or cries about how oppressed they are. Instead, we get a celebration of the potential of that moment. Elizabeth shouting out with joy at that life stirring in her and then sharing her exuberance and blessing with Mary. And then, as Luke tells it to us, Mary offers up her rejoicing in verses 46 through 55. And that's a song. We hear a song from Luke, the historian. It's a passage called the Magnificat. And what the Magnificat says is interesting, because even though Mary's very excited, she's just received a very strange visit from something she didn't anticipate. And she's just been told by Elizabeth, well, she's gotten a blessing that she hadn't expected. The focus of the poetry, the song we hear from Mary, well, it's not about her. It's not about her ego. Even though here Elizabeth, her older relative, have just said, I can't believe you're here. You're the mother of my Lord. Well, generally, I mean, people are positive when you're pregnant, but it doesn't quite go that far. If anything might go to your head, that might be it. But Mary doesn't really celebrate herself in the Magnificat. She doesn't celebrate that. We get an affirmation of who she is. She says, I'm just a servant. I recognize I'm a lowly one at that. And what she rejoices in is not what power might come or what wealth might come, none of the things that stir human beings to feel that they are better one than the other. She rejoices in the gift that she's received from her Creator, that gift of life and the promise of God's redemption and the promise of God's setting things right, not for her, but for all of humanity. And in that, the Magnificat, this song, reinforces a potent truth about the human encounter with the divine. That encounter takes apart the things that we think make us as people more significant or more important than any other creature. Of course it would. Here you have this young nobody from no place, and she is bearing within her and singing about the gift of the living promise of God. Now, those who were proud of themselves do factor into that song. She sings about the rich, and they're sent away empty. She sings about the powerful, and the God of promise casts them down from their thrones. And she sings about the proud. And the proud, well, they are scattered in their own thoughts. Because that's what pride does to us. It is a scattering, shattering thing. It scatters us one from another because it rises in us when we view those gifts that we have been given as belonging exclusively to us, as being the thing that makes us better, more magical, more special than every other child of God around us. When we are driven by pride, we don't recognize the truth of those gifts. That whatever gifts and skills we have only draw their value from how they deepen our relationships with one another, how they deepen that connection God intends us to have with each other. When we view ourselves and the blessings God has given us as ours alone, then we're closing ourselves off from that reality of the kingdom of God's love, closing ourselves off from the reality of how God wants us to care for one another. And pride doesn't just shatter our relationships with others. It also shatters us in the scattering of our own thoughts and selves. Because if we only see that image of ourselves that we have created, then we lose sight of the reality that we inhabit. We become lost in an idol of our own thoughts and our own story about how very perfect and right we always are. And, well, then reality does have a pesky tendency of catching up to us. And that sea in the meaning of life stings. That's not what we're intended to do with the gifts we've been given. We can't allow ourselves to be closed off from that deep relationship to the God-created reality around us, to the creation filled with other souls. Because it doesn't matter how skilled we are or how much potential we have, those gifts will do nothing to transform the world for the better if they are viewed as ours alone. That doesn't mean God wants us to hate ourselves. It does not mean that God wants us to despise the blessing of life and the gifts each and every one of us have been given. But right here, right on the cusp of Christmas, we are reminded that we're all called to use the lives God has given us in ways that are guided by Christ's kingdom, grace, and promise, and not by our own pride. Yes, we might just be dust and ashes. We might just be lowly servants. But God has placed within each of us the gift of God's own love. That Spirit rests with all of us. And it is that gift that lights up all of the other gifts we have. It is that gift that we are called to share along with our other gifts, fully and wholly, with the world around us. Let it be so, then, for you and for me. Amen. Each of us bears in us a gift that can change the world. Every one of us does. God gives each of us the Spirit, but each of us in our own particular, special way bears something that can transform everything around us. If we don't hold it in tight, if we don't say, this is the thing that makes all of y'all less than me. That gift we have been given needs to be lit up by the Spirit and then given freely to the whole world. That's the thing we're remembering and preparing ourselves for through this Advent season. That is the thing that we are orienting our lives towards as we look these days towards the promise of Christmas. But it's also the calling of every day of our walk along the Christian path. And so as you walk out into this world with its busyness filled with people, know you've been given gifts that can change every relationship and every person you connect with. Go out and pour that joy into the world, doing so without holding back, doing so because that is the promise of this season, the season of transformation and new life. Let's go out and live so that matters for us. As Christians, that is our call. Let's live it. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.